This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.
Welcome to this episode of That Florida Podcast. And on this week's show, I'm joined by Paul Dolan and Craig Lucas. We're going to discuss dining on-site and dining off-site in a segment that Craig's calling Should I Stay or Should I Go? So, without further ado, let's get on with the show.
Yeah, well, the idea, Kevin, was basically it's come from me going in August, not having the dining plan for the first time in two visits, 2017, 2019, we had the dining plan. The dining plan just doesn't matter what you eat. You'd always go for the most expensive thing on the menu. You'd have two or three beers and you pay whatever the bill is, plus tip, whatever. You know what I mean? And now, for the first time in a long time, we're going to have to think about where we're eating. The plan basically is, should I stay or should I go? So I've done two restaurants, Blaze Pizza versus Domino's, off-site, and Le Cellier versus the Outback Steakhouse. For the comparison of should I stay and should I go, right. Not it is to stay on Disney. I think you'll know which one it is.
Yeah.
And the other one is to go off Disney. And it's going to be a recurring theme show of just a little feature that I do every so often. Should I stay or should I go? I'll just pick two similar restaurants on property, one on property, one off property, and just factor in the different costs. So I literally got in from work at 7:15. I was stuck behind about 1,000 Real Madrid fans walking out of Liverpool City Centre towards Anfield. Couldn't get past them. So I've done it very quickly, but the two that I've picked, and hopefully you've got the grasp of what I was...
Yeah, well, you're saying that. I've picked Olivia's at Old Key West, because I ate there back last year. And I've picked Yard House on iDrive. Now, yeah. I've not eaten there, but I've seen a couple of vlogs that are there, and they're similar sort of foods, and I've picked similar sort of foods to have. And it's interesting. The price is very interesting if you get into the nitty gritty. And then the other thing I looked at was sort of Polite Pig and maybe something like an IHOP or a Denny's. But a problem I have with IHOP and Denny's is they ain't putting prices on their menus online.
Yeah. I've just found that. So you've got content blockers on Outback, so I had to go onto a third party menu website that had screenshots of the menus, because the blocking content outside the USA.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah,
very strange. Yeah. I still say the best meal I had in 2022 was Denny's, right? We didn't do an awful lot of big time dining. I think you'll find this, that now you're going and you ain't got the dining plan.
Yeah.
You're going to find that, well, you ain't going to eat as much, and you're going to be more picky about where you eat it and what you eat, and you're probably going to use a lot of quick service, and you'll probably find you spend less money.
That's what I'm thinking as well, because, I mean, we've just got back from Disneyland Paris last week, and the highlight of the week was Pim's Kitchen. 10 of us, including Neil, which we only had one drink each. You got a free soft drink each. We only had one pint. €370. And Carla's kids, fussy eaters and not well. They were both, the two babies were coughing and spluttering. And they wouldn't entertain anything. But they were charged €25 a pop, because it was an all-you-can-eat buffet. They wouldn't even look at the chicken nuggets. They literally had a mouthful of one chicken nugget and said, I don't like that, and they sat there because they had no appetite. And we're slowly getting into their head. They're only picking. We've said, look, we will do character dining for the kids, but we're not doing 10 of them, because that's what you do when you've got the dining plan. You'll go and do six character dining experiences because you're not paying for them. You're just paying the tax and your ale money, or the tip, sorry, and your ale money. Yeah. So we're only doing the princesses to open the Disney portion of the holiday. Maybe Chef Mickey's, we think, just because it's the famous five and it's the princesses. And the rest of it, we're just going to do bit of off, because we're at Animal Kingdom and we're quite close to iDrive, so we'll get Ubers. So I've factored in the Uber prices as well, which you can get.
So you're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge, Craig?
Yeah. Slumming it in the budget deluxe.
Mm-hmm. All right, I got a few things for you then.
So you're staying Animal Kingdom Lodge on the customer side, yeah? Regular rooms, yeah?
If I'm having my coffee looking at a giraffe, I don't care.
I think you'll find it cheaper. And we spent less money last year with four of us than we spent the year 2019 on the dining plan, because we bought the dining plan through DVC. Yeah. I mean, I've said that before, penny for penny, about the same price as buying it as a normal person from the US. So, yeah, we spent a lot less. And we didn't leave anything on the table. You know, we didn't go into Goofy's candy box and buy 20 bags of sweets. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You have to buy a new suitcase.
We used to be diehard dining plan people. Well, we got it free. I mean, we got it free the first year. They gave it free, which included a starter, a main course, a dessert, and a tip, right, originally. So we had it free loads of times. But the last couple of times now, we haven't had the dining plan. We mix it up now. There are some restaurants we like, table service, and we'll pay for those. And then a lot of it's quick service. I think you've got to be choosy about the quick service, though. I mean, if you're just eating chicken nuggets and chips for 2 weeks, you're going to get sick of chicken nuggets and chips. There's a lot of really good quick service places if you know where they are and you do a little bit of research.
Yeah, Animal Kingdom, the theme park itself, it's got some fantastic quick service.
So's the Animal Kingdom Lodge. Mara's really good.
Mara's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. I've done the last two trips I've done to Florida, I've eaten one burger.
Wow.
And that's it. And I've eaten pretty much on Disney all the time that I've been there. I've not gone off. The only time I've gone off site was when I stayed off site. So you don't need to be eating quick service burgers and chicken nuggets if you don't want to. Definitely you don't. No, it's definitely not. Yeah. Okay, then, who's going to go first then?
Shall I go first?
Yeah, you go first. Who are we?
now I know we're recording now, I'll be honest.
Be a good...
So I've gone with Blaze Pizza in Disney Springs versus Domino's Pizza. Right, so there is one on International Drive. I think it was 6 miles away from Animal Kingdom Lodge. It was a bit round the houses. So, again, I've been in a rush because I've got in from work. So I picked four pizzas from Blaze. I don't know how big they are. They might be 3 inches.
They're personal pizzas, I think you could call them, but they're not tiny.
Yeah. They're pretty decent size, though. They're not like the little ones you get in a theme park. They're a normal, what I would call a normal size pizza.
Again, in a rush, I didn't go into sides. They're $10.45. So there's four of us in our family, so we had four of them. Then two soft drinks for the girls, $7.90. And then two beers for me and Kerry, $10 each. So Blaze Pizza come in at $69.70. And obviously tax is added on top. We haven't gone into that. So $69.70. We're leaving Animal Kingdom Lodge, getting in our Uber. Now, the Uber was $12 each way. So you've got to add in the $24 on top of that. Now, I went with the biggest pizzas you could get on Domino's. Again, just to be dramatic, 14-inch pizzas. So I've got no... I can't quantify inches. Is that a big pizza?
Yeah, fair size, yeah.
12 inches, yeah. So it's the size of a
small child.
The kind of pizza you get in, like, Pizza Express. I know that won't work for American listeners, but, you know, it's a plate-sized pizza, and it's slightly bigger than a plate,
so
a dinner plate.
So $15.99, so basically $16. Four Cokes, because you didn't have... I couldn't find alcohol on the menu. Now, I presume Domino's, it's 99% of the time, is takeout, isn't it, anyway? Yeah. So you wouldn't be selling alcohol. Yeah. It was 14 minutes each way in the Uber. Adding all that up, it actually come to $99.52. So the Domino's pizza, again, this is without any Domino's 50% saving here and there and put this voucher in and all that. This was just a quick example. Actually, should I stay or should I go? Well, in this instance, you're going to stay in the Disney bubble.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Which sort of contradicts the whole notion of it. If you carry on having beers very quickly, you know, $10 a beer, it's going to get a bit more interesting.
But you know what's going to happen there, don't you? You're going to walk out of Blaze, you're going to go across the way to Raglan Road and have a couple in there, and you're going to walk out of there and you're going to walk down to Wine Bar George and have a couple in there, and before you know it, you're hammered.
Yeah. And you've spent $200.
At least,
So I'll hand over to one of you boys now. But so on the pizza side, initially, I'll stay on Disney property tonight.
And Blaze Pizza is really, really good. That is one of my top quick service. And it's funny because it's a bit like, I'm going to talk about Deluxe Burger later as well. A bit like Deluxe Burger. It's kind of a quick service, but it's a little bit nicer than your average quick service. And the pizzas, they make the pizzas in front of you, so you can have a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that. Whereas Domino's, you order a pizza and you get a pizza. I mean, they're two slightly different animals, Domino's, but still, Blaze, I would have Blaze any day over
I'm with you, Paul. Domino's. Definitely Blaze every day. Because you can go along, you pick exactly what you want, when you want. I'll tell you how many my family had when they were there. They knew my son's order by the end of the oldie. Mm. they knew him. He's a big lad, he's a big tall lad, so he sticks out. But they knew his pizza, they knew his order, the people in there. So that's how often he went.
Yeah.
Right then, Paul, where are you going?
Okay, so what I tried to do, and I threw in a little bit extra, so you're getting 50% extra free here, but I tried to pick food that I could compare the menus. So I went for, again, a bulk standard Italian menu. Most people like Italian. I did a comparison on a number of different places. So I started with Mamma Melrose in Disney's Hollywood Studio, right?
Fantastic restaurant.
It is good. I mean, it's a bit inconsistent. It's, you know, sometimes it can be better than others, but it's a fairly decent standard, I think, and it's right in the theme park, so you're right in the middle of the action. And I just chose a menu that I could find in other places so we could compare the prices. So I chose one calamari starter that they're just going to share, this family of four, two spaghetti meatballs for the adults, and the same for the kids, so kids' meals. Soft drinks for the adults and soft drinks for the kids, two of each. And then two desserts for the adults. The kids were naughty that day, so they didn't get any dessert. Only the adults got dessert, right? And I picked cheesecake. And if I couldn't find cheesecake, then I would pick an average dessert on another restaurant. So in some cases, the kids' menus included a soft drink. If that was the case, then I factored that in. But for Mama Melrose, for that meal, without tax or tip, it was $108 for four people, right? Now, there's no alcohol in that or anything. It's four soft drinks. But it's one starter, four main courses, two desserts, and four soft drinks. $108, right? So then I looked at the Olive Garden on iDrive. Obviously, a chain restaurant, but it's an Italian. It's a table service. So it's pretty comparable, I think.
Yeah,
and it was slightly cheaper for the same thing. It was $93.70. But if you're gonna take an Uber there from where we would be staying at the Poly, it's actually quite expensive to get to that one. And maybe there was an Olive Garden that's a bit nearer. It was about $40 for the Uber there and back again. That took you up to about $133 versus Mama Melrose at 108. There's no contest there. And obviously Mama Melrose is right in the theme park, which is quite fun. And it makes it easier to do other things as well. But I then compared it to a couple of other places. I looked at Universal just for a laugh to see how did that compare in Universal. And the nearest I could get was that there isn't really an Italian that I could find in the theme park that was comparable. There is a buffet Italian, but it's more like quick service buffet. So the nearest I could find was actually in City Walk, and that was Vivo. And for the same meal, it was $91, only $7 cheaper than Olive Garden offsite. It's less than that. It's only $3 cheaper than Olive Garden. So they're about the same price, which was kind of a surprise to me. I thought Olive Garden would have been cheaper. I also looked at a couple of others. I did find another restaurant called Mama Mama Delas, I think it's at the Portofino, which is a deluxe hotel. That was 117 for the same meal. And then to compare that to Disney, I looked at the Trattoria Al Forno, which is at the Boardwalk, and that was 128. So Disney is probably about 10% more expensive than Universal, and it's about probably 10% more expensive than offsite. But then when you add the Uber, there's nothing in it. It, you know, staying on site is definitely the way to go, I would say.
It's got to be soft drinks all the way, though, with Disney, because a lot of the off-site dining will have happy hours. It'll be, you know, $4, $6 a pint, whereas Disney is anything, you know, $10 to $12 a pint. And it, I mean, one of our happiest memories was in Mama Melrose on the Fantasmic dinner package. We had server Tammy. She had us, it was raining when we got there, and she had us basically half the afternoon. We let our fast passes slide, basically, and we sat with her and we ate with her. It was a set menu because it was the dinner package, and we got drunk with her. You know, so the girls had two bottles of Prosecco and we had probably about four pints each. And, you know, it was an absolutely magical afternoon it was just lovely. And then we toddled off to Fantasmic, you know, bouncing off the walls. But that was, you know, it was part of the dining plan. It was part of the dinner package. So all we paid for was our ale and the tip. She got a very good tip that day. I think if you were starting to factor in alcoholic drinks, I think very quickly Disney would price itself up the market. But that's just how I dine.
Yeah. Although it wasn't much when we were there last year, October, November last year, there wasn't much difference, I don't think, in drink prices between Disney and Universal. In fact, for a cocktail, Disney was about the same price or even a dollar or two cheaper. So I think Universal versus Disney, if you're going to add in drink, probably it's going to cost you a lot more money, but it probably isn't going to be that much different. If you go off-site, then your alcohol can be a bit cheaper, and you're right, you can get happy hours and things like that. You don't really get that at Disney, I don't think. I think there's a couple of places in Disney Springs that do happier. That's about it, I think. So yeah, you're right. Once you start factoring in alcohol, then it's a different kettle of fish, really.
Oh yes, I've really gone to town.
Go on then.
Right, I looked at Old Key West because I dined there and managed to get someone else to pay the check. So that was really good last time out.
That's how you win every time.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be cheaper than offsite then.
Yeah. Thanks, Kurt Stone, geeking on Walt Disney World. Obviously, got to mention him, otherwise I get shot. Anyway,
cheap plug.
Olivia's Caffert at Old Key West. I looked at the menu there, and what I had last time, I sort of chose for my wife, which is the smooth butter fried chicken, and that's coming in at $25. And then I was looking at the prime rib for myself. And the reason why I'm looking at prime rib is because prime rib is available on about three different platforms I looked at. Again, at Disney and offsite and stuff. So prime rib's quite easy to do. We also had a couple of starters, crab cakes and shrimps at $15 and $13 each. As well. Now, this isn't the way me and Deborah would normally eat, but I just thought if we're going to go, we're going to go big.
You're on Kurt Stone's paycheck now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And kid number one is going to have the chicken strips, and kid number two is going to have pasta. Now, they're coming in at $11 each. Okay. And they're both going to have a sundae at $5.25. Now, me and Deborah are going to have a tortellini lemon tart. And I was going to have, what did I have? I was going to have a sundae. And they're coming in at $9 and $11 each. Now, I'm a bit of a Joffrey's fan. So I was going to have a Joffrey's pour over, which is $9 for two. And then the kids are having fountain drinks, which I've put in. I couldn't find a price on the menu for fountain drinks. And I went for $5 each. That's never $10. But then we were going to have some cocktails. I like the sound of this one. Slapper Joe. $15.50.
Sounds nice, Dave.
I thought you'd like that one. And then Deborah, I got Old Key West Fizz, and that's $14.50. With everything in there, that's $193.25, plus tax, plus tip. That's a pretty expensive meal, considering you're only you are dining at a Lux Resort, but you're not dining in the theme park or anywhere like that. There's no, you got no characters or anything like that. And it's priced as a calf, or advertised as a calf. And you can still do $193 without any effort. That's one alcoholic drink each, a coffee, a starter, a main, and a dessert. And the kids are only having a main meal and a dessert. $193. Now you'd think, okay, this one's definitely going to be off-site. So it's
gotta be.
Our friend Bazza, I believe, went to the Yard House a few vlogs ago. So I thought we'd give that a whirl. Now, this is what I quite like as a starter. A giant pretzel, $13.50. And then Deborah, have onion rings all day long. That's coming in at $12.99. I'll have the ribeye. Here, that's $38.99. So that's a dollar more than at Disney.
That's bonkers.
Yeah. And I've really cheaped out on Deborah. She's having the chicken cob salad at $15.49.
She's not going to be happy at that.
Nah, well, there you like go. Her. And then for pudding...
You've gone cheap on her there.
I've gone real cheap on her there. I'm going to have a bread pudding, and Deborah's going to have a cheesecake brulee. And that's $10.29, and I've cheaped out on her. That's $6.99 for hers. The boys are having chicken tenders at $9.99, and the other one's having sliders at $9.99. Their ice creams are coming in at $6 each. They're both having one of those. And a juice for one is $3.99. And a soda is $3.79. So you're thinking here, we're on a winner. We're going to have there wasn't any coffee on the menu, so we're just having an espresso martini and a dragon fruit Cosmo at $13.99. And the Cosmo is $11.79. So a little bit cheaper, but not ridiculously cheaper on those cocktails. Not as cheap as I thought they were going to be. So all in all, total $163 plus tip. So quite a bit cheaper off-site.
Yeah.
But when I went onto Uber and tagged Uber, $36 each way. Now, I reckon I was doing that 8 o'clock at night here. So it wasn't like it was, I would have thought, particularly surge busy in Florida at that time, because what's that? That's lunchtime, isn't it? It's not, you know, in the evening, park closing, those sort of times. So yeah, I was really surprised, because that's going to add another $72. Again, you're going to stay on Disney, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. Should you stay or should you go?
Yeah, when I said $193, you all thought it was going to be a lot cheaper off-site, didn't you? And it is $30 cheaper off-site, but if you're paying $30 for there and back, so half the price for the Uber, you're not saving any money, are you? And you the extra time to go off. I think this dining off is on the day when you're going shopping. I don't know whether you're the same as us. We always do a day at the shops in Orlando somewhere. So we do what I'm going to get to now, which is Denny's. Now, I couldn't find any prices for Denny's, but I tell you now, we got out of Denny's last year, four of us, four meals, two puddings, soft drinks, admittedly. We got out at $83. So I know it was $83 because I looked it up on my Revolut card.
Yeah.
So to $83, we got out of Denny's. And I think you get out of Denny's cheaper than that if you wanted to. And I had a sizzling platter there that was just phenomenal.
There was one of the best meals we had in 2015, going back, admittedly, was Manny's Chop House in Haines City. Absolutely phenomenal place. You can't book, you just ring up before, and you say, there's four of us coming, and you go, there's a half an hour wait. You just drive down then. So I put that in the Uber, and from Animal Kingdom Lodge to this Manny's Chop House in Haines City, it was $40 each way. And at that point, just Disney's just going to win every time, because you've got to factor this type of stuff in. So I've gone big now. I've gone big. I've gone to Ryan's Temple, a theme park trader, the place where Ryan worships. Yeah. It's Le Cellier, a place I've always wanted to eat, but I didn't want to give it the two sit downs because it was a deluxe. Yeah. So I didn't want to give it. It was bad enough giving it to the princesses for the
for lunch. It's only a one at lunch.
Well, I think that's irrelevant now.
Yeah. I got the ribeye steak, $59. Kerry got fish, $45. The two girls got chicken and gravy off the kids' menu, $26 for the two of them. Kerry treated herself to a magical beacon cocktail, $17.50. I got a beer, $11.25. The kids got two soft drinks, $6.50 each, in a one of them glowy cups, so it was $6.50. Souvenir cup, $13 all in, $171.75. So for me, eating at Le Cellier now is almost more doable because it's not two tokens. So Outback Steakhouse, which was $8 in the Uber because it's very close, so it was $16 in. A ribeye was 24, fish was 22, burgers, because I couldn't get chicken and gravy, was $20. It was $8 for a cocktail and $8 for a beer. Come in at $98. So a massive saving, $72,
$73. I'm going to call you out on that one, though. Cause
go on.
Kevin's listeners would call you out on this one anyway. They're all going to be shouting at their odd playing devices.
Yeah.
So Le Cellier is a signature restaurant. Outback's a chain steakhouse.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. They're not on the same level, I don't think. I mean, if you compared, I don't know, like Sci-Fi to Outback, then you're probably in the right sort of ballpark. But there is a bit of a difference there, Craig.
I mean, a ribeye's where I come from.
But you're going to pay a hell of a lot more for a ribeye in Le Cellier or Yachtsman Steakhouse than you would in Sci-Fi or there's plenty of places that sell ribeye, like Steakhouse 71 or something like that.
I'm just looking at Steakhouse 71. Is exactly what I was looking at.
Go on. Give us
one. Well, they don't do a ribeye by the looks of it. They do a sirloin steak at $30. Oh, they do ribeye and classic Yorkshire pudding, $38.
Well, yeah. So I'm a little bit skew-iff on that. I'm a little bit skew-iff. To me, even on this, should I stay or should I go, I would be tempted to go to Le Cellier for that experience for $171. Yeah. We've got, as you know, we've got the dining credit for this year. I think it's $1,100, $1,200, something like that. And we're going to have to be, proper manage that to try and get the best use out of it rather than just waste it. But I don't think that's too bad, $171, if you're paying.
I don't think so.
If you're getting a top-notch ribeye, $59, I think I can stop it. Again, the problem is for us, I'll be having four pints with that during the... And I would have a starter. I wouldn't have a dessert. I'm not really a dessert person. I'd probably have a starter as well. So that's where it starts to get up to the $250, maybe even the $300 range. And that's where you do start to call into question stuff, which, again, I was in a rush tonight. When I've got more time and we're back on our show, I can give it a bit more time it deserves and maybe do a three-course comparison on various things. But it's all down to appetite and everything, and we weren't hungry in Disneyland Paris at all for a week. There was the first night we had squashies and chocolate bars because we forgot to eat. And then the rest of the time, you literally eat one meal a day in theme parks. It's a weird situation, isn't it? You don't tend to have three meals a day, do you?
Yeah.
For instance, I was going to talk about Polite Pig. We went to Polite Pig. Yeah. There was seven of us. So it was... Well, it was three couples, two couples, mother and son,
and me, the odd one out, and we ordered the butcher's platter. Well, say we ordered, they ordered the butcher's platter, right? And it was $44, and it was like a massacre on a plate. It was just so much meat. And these people are not people that are like me that don't eat more than one meal a day. And that $44 fed six people.
Wow.
You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think the bill was well over into the $300 mark because they was drinking a lot of alcohol.
Yeah.
So they've got the same issue as you have, Craig. You know, if you're going to drink a few beers in Disney, you're going to rack up that money real quick. Yeah. Because you're paying what, 20%, 30% premium on buying beer in Disney?
Yeah, and do you want a tip as well for saving you a beer? You know, and just...
Oh, let's not go down that route, eh?
The last, 2019, when we were there, the round was four ladies with a Prosecco each and six pints of lager, right? The lager was $10 a pint. There's the 60, and then the Prosecco's were $15, so it was $60. So it was $120 a round. We did drink around the world, and we did it properly, because you know we do, Mr. D. We give it some welly. I said to the girl behind the bar, look, just give us the bottle of Prosecco. What's the price for it? A bit cheaper? Because in Liverpool, if you're buying it by the glass, it'll be whatever, £10 or whatever, £12, whatever. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll have the bottle. It'll be £22. You know, that type of stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
But Disney, no, measured out to the millimetre, it's four glasses, $60. I was like, all right. It's exactly four glasses in their bottles.
Yeah, because I don't even know what the metric are, they?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to drink like that, I mean, that's going to be your biggest part of the bill, really. You know,
I can't drink.
They rake you on alcohol.
It was my birthday the other weekend. I had four cocktails. My wife was dragging me up, carrying me up to bed. We went away to a hotel for the weekend. We had four cocktails down in the bar, and like I was wasted.
there's a couple of things I would say about. One pro for Disney table service, or not just Disney, but it really is Disney, because Universal and the parks don't really do table service, do they? I mean, there are one or two, but it's not really about table service in the Universal parks. One of the pros I would say for table service at Disney, they have got some really unique restaurants, and if you are going to have a table service at Disney, you should probably think about, you know, just some of the unique restaurants. And some of the restaurants I'm going to mention aren't necessarily the best restaurants from a food point of view, but things like, you know, Sci-Fi Diner, I mean, it's just so unique, especially if you've got kids. And 50s Prime Time is the same. Coral Reef is another one. Boma at the Animal Kingdom Lodge is another one. Skipper Jack's in the Magic Kingdom is one that a lot of people just don't even know about. And then some of the resort ones as well, like Whispering Canyons, again, if you've got kids, are just unique and great fun, and you get the experience of going around the resort. There could be times when it's worth paying a little bit extra because you're getting a little bit more. You're not just getting the food, you're getting an experience as well. You've got to weigh that up with the cost, because you are going to pay, you know, a little bit more. They got some great signature restaurants if you're having a special meal, like the California Grill. For example, we've talked about that quite a few times. Yachtsman Steakhouse, Flying Fish, you know, they've got some really good, they're expensive restaurants, but if it's a special meal for an anniversary or whatever, then it may be worth it. But then on the flip side, a reason for not eating in table service that we've found, because we mix it up now, we'll maybe have on a holiday, which our holidays are typically about 2.5 weeks, of which we spend about 2 weeks of that at Disney, we'll maybe eat table service three or four times, and we'll have one or two table service breakfasts, like Boma. Boma's fantastic breakfast, best breakfast on property. The rest of it will have quick service. There are some really good quick services, but some of them are in the resorts, some of them are in Disney Springs, and some of them are in the parks. You know, there's a lot more than just your typical burgers and chicken nuggets and things like that. Places like Tangerine Cafe in Epcot, although it it's shut right now, but if it does reopen again, you know, there's just so many good ones. I mean, we talked about Blaze Pizza, which is quick service. Deluxe Burger at Disney Springs is quick service. Chicken Guy is quick service. You know, they're all really, really good.
Yeah, but I like that Chicken Guy.
I mean, it's hard to get into. It's really, really busy, but it's good, and it's good food, and it's cheap, and relatively cheap for what it, you know, for Disney or whatever. But the downside to table service is just how much time it takes, as well as the cost. I mean, especially if you're limited in time. I mean, there's 4 Disney theme parks and 3 Universal parks, and two Universal parks is soon going to be 3. And most of those parks, you need at least 2 days to see them properly. So you get to the point now where it's hard just to do Disney and Universal theme parks on a 2-week holiday. And if you're having a table service meal every day, I mean, that's burning probably an hour and a half to 2 hours of your day, really, in addition to the cost. So that's another good reason for quick service, because it is quick by the nature of it.
It's as quick as O'Hara's, I tell you now.
Yeah, well,
they can flip you round. We had 17 of us last time, and they flipped us. They flipped us good and proper. They threw the food at us. We had 3 courses on the table. It was an absolute disgrace. Awful, awful. Mm.
That's because they're a victim of their own success, really. You know, they have become. So it used to be pressure. Like that at Le Cellier, right? Because when we first went to Le Cellier, it was great. You know, you could get in, and then it was a 1-credit restaurant all the time, right? But then it became, people got to know about it, and it became so popular that you had to be on the phone 180 days out when it was 180 days to even have a chance of getting a reservation. And then they bumped it up to 2 table service credits. And Hannah's the same, really. Hannah's got so busy that they know they can fill it, and now they're choosing to just turn the tables really fast to get maximum number of people through it to make the maximum amount of money. I think that will come to bite them. Well, I think in our case, it is already biting them, because we're going to stay at the Poly and we're not going to eat at O'Hara's. And we didn't eat at O'Hara's last time, whereas previously we would have done, but I just don't want that kind of experience. We had it once at Sana'a, and I wish I'd said something to the guy. The only reason I didn't was because I had family there, and I didn't want to cause a fuss. You know, I won't let a server do that to us again. If I feel rushed, I'm going to get them to one side and just say, we're paying a lot of money for this, and I want it to be at a nice pace. So,
well, we did O'Hara in 2019, and as we walked into the restaurant, the 2 ladies I was with got out of the server and said, you are not rushing us. We are here to enjoy our meal, and we will not be rushed. And we were there two and a half hours. You got a blooming good tip, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
But they laid down the law before they sat down. They basically said to him, you're not rushing us. We're here with our friends. They've come from the UK. Yeah. We're not being rushed.
Yeah.
And basically, they didn't rush us. They gave up on us, didn't they, really, is what they done. Yeah, they're trying to turn those tables over so quickly, aren't they?
Sure. Yeah,
outrageous, really, when you're paying that sort of money.
It is, and you know, there's a couple of other places that have tried to do it to us, and we've just, you know, deliberately taken our time. We've just taken our time. We've just kept pushing them back. You know, when they say ready for the next thing, we say no, or do you want another drink? Yep, in a couple of minutes, and just kind of push back, and eventually they get the message. But yeah, you shouldn't feel like you're being rushed when you're paying the kind of money that you're paying.
Interestingly enough, Len Tester was talking about when they included a alcoholic drink in the dining plan, how much problems that caused them, because basically you're going to have a drink. So now you're going to say, oh, can we have a look at the wine menu? Can we have a look at the drinks menu? Mm. So they've got to make another trip to the table. They've got to wait another X, Y, and Z amount of minutes for you to choose an alcoholic drink before they could just boom, 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 here's a soda, bang, and if you wanted a drink, you'd actually make the effort to do a drink, to buy one. But if it's included, you're having it, aren't you?
Yeah.
All day long, yeah.
Yeah. So
and you're picking, and you're discussing, and you're...
Exactly.
What are you having?
Yeah, this one's 75 cents more expensive. because it's included in the in the menus. Like you said straight away at the beginning, Craig, you said you're having the most expensive thing on the menu when you've got a dining credit rather than paying for it cash.
And you try not to. And you say, I'm not hungry tonight. I'm just going to have the salad tonight. And you look at the salad, it's a $17 salad. And then you look at the surf and turf, and it's $45 or whatever. And you're like, yeah, I'll have the surf and turf, please, yeah. And you don't want it. You don't need it, but can't help it. And that's the problem with the old dining plan. I think what they're doing with us now, where they're giving us money, it's all part of collecting data of how we're using that money. Because do you know that we're using a gift card? You know,
they can trace it, can't they?
They can trace everything, and they can trace how people's patterns are changing, and they can come to a magical figure. You know, the quick, like you said there, of filling your suitcase with your quick service. You could convert, couldn't you?
Yeah.
You get, was it 4 snack credits to 1 quick service?
Yeah, I think it was 3 to 1 quick service, yeah.
You know, so you'd be literally buying a second or third suitcase and filling it with goofy candy to bring home and giving it away to your neighbours and your friends and just eating it 2 years later. It's indestructible stuff. So all that is all, they're always number crunching and they're always collecting data. And when they've got enough data, we'll see what the proper dining plan is going to be, the new dining plan.
Yeah, because the dining plan for them was good because A, it meant that you were always prepaying and they knew they got that amount of people on that amount of seats. So it kept all the wait staff in work when perhaps they would struggle to fill the restaurants. Yeah. But they knew if they could give the dining plan away on a quiet time, then all of a sudden you got them restaurants full. Well, they got you paying for a park ticket to go in the park. They free you up from the ride, which you used to get free fast pass for, so you'd have that. But they could, but you said you let your fast passes slide. Well, that's they weren't making any money out of that now. Maybe now they don't want you in the restaurants as much because they can get $40 off you for a ride that you were going to go on anyway. Why do they need you to eat?
Exactly.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, I think going forward with this, this will be just a recurring thing on our show when I remember to do it, basically. And I'll just pick examples of, and it'll be interesting for the whoever the cast is on that episode to guess, should I stay or should I go? Like your one, Kevin, was a lot closer than, you know, you've got to factor in that Uber, you've got to factor in the time away from the parks and the time away from the resort. Because you've got to wait for the Uber, you've got to travel in the Uber, you've got to wait to be seated, you know, all that type of stuff. So it's not as clear cut as you think. And I think Disney will potentially win a lot more than what we thought.
If you're eating in the parks against going to Disney Springs, for instance, or eating in the resorts against going to Disney Springs, because there's so much in Disney Springs now. You've got, like we mentioned, the Plight Pig, you've got the burger place now, haven't you? Deluxe Burger, you've got the Chicken Guy, all those sort of places. You've got so much pretty good value food at Disney Springs. And that's one of the reasons why it's driving people there and not driving them off site.
Yeah. So don't forget some of the resorts as well. I mean, some of the resorts have got really good quick services. And if you're park hopping anyway, you know, you can say you're going to the Magic Kingdom from the Magic Kingdom to Epcot. You can take the monorail from the Magic Kingdom, get off at the Contemporary, have lunch at the Contempo Cafe, and then get back on the monorail and go to Epcot, you know. So there's lots of good resort options. The Boardwalk's another option that a lot of people forget about. It's right by Epcot. It's between Epcot and the studios. So there are a lot of options. We haven't even talked about Swan and Dolphin. I mean, we kind of forget about the Swan and Dolphin, but they've got
funnily, I was just talking before you came on to Adam about the Swan and Dolphin and maybe doing an episode of the history of the Swan and Dolphin. I know it's not a DVC resort and that was what we were recording.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. But yeah, some of the restaurants there are fantastic. Yes, and there's plenty of space in that Swan and Dolphin if you're ever looking for somewhere to take a big group. So say you want to go somewhere, Craig, I think you'll find that the drinks prices are a bit cheaper there as well. And you want to go as a big group, there's plenty of space in that foyer and that bar in the Swan and Dolphin. Definitely.
It does baffle me, like you're a group of 10 and a lot of places last time there was 17 of us, and I had to phone up and get every booking, and they were like, we can't guarantee. And I get some of the tables are bolted down in some of the resort, you know, in some of the restaurants and whatnot, but they should be catering for parties like that.
It's Disney World, for God's sake. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's very bizarre. I mean, we were just talking as well about, we did the dessert party for my birthday last year with 77 of us. We rented out the French pavilion area there. And that worked out around, I think, $70 each, something like that. So cheaper than a normal dessert party. But you've got to get 70-odd people to make it pay, you know, to get down to that sort of price. But then we also rented a pontoon boat.
Wow.
The pontoon boat was $400.
Yeah.
Right? 11 people, $400. Call it 10, $40 each. I mean, I'd pay $40 at fireworks just to sit down somewhere. If somebody would bring me a camping chair and put it at the side of the lake there, I'd give them $40. Do you know what I mean? So I think that pontoon boat was really good value. And you get soft drinks.
Yeah.
You could take a crate of beer on there with you if you want, Craig.
I think we've forgotten that we were thinking about looking at that. Because is there a rule about children on it? Because we've got 2 4-year-olds with us and a 6-year-old.
I don't know, because obviously it was all adults when we went. I don't know about the kids.
I'll have to have a look at it, because you might have to
wear life jackets.
Yeah, that's fine, as long as I'm not wearing one. but that is a memory. That is a memory you'll remember forever. You know, we did the Pirates dessert party twice, based in the Contemporary. And you'd go into one of the little suites, and you'd meet Captain Hook and Smee, and you'd have your dessert, and then you'd go out onto the lake on one of the boats, and you'd sit there and watch the fireworks. But it was on the lake for a while, and it was like a mini stand up show, and pirates on board were making fun of you a little bit, and you know, talking to the kids and having a sing song, and then we watch the fireworks, and we come back to the dock. And Peter Pan's standing there waiting to meet you. And I don't think they do it anymore.
No, I haven't heard that. No.
We did it twice, and it was brilliant. But then there was the other dessert party, wasn't there, where they were having one of the boats, the ferries to get you across. They were using one of them and having a dessert party on one of them. And I think that was just before COVID hit. And again, you don't hear of it now.
No. Still quite a lot that hasn't come back, you know.
Yeah,
bits and pieces here and there, yeah.
Yeah.
I got half caught at the Star Wars dessert party in Hollywood Studios because it was free alcoholic drinks. So I just stayed. It was cocktails, and you could get 2 drinks at a time. So I was going in the queue, going to the front, getting 2 drinks, going, putting them on the table, going back in the queue, getting another 2 drinks. I was bladdered. We were all bladdered. It was a brilliant night watching them Star Wars fireworks. But again, unique desserts with a little bit of a Star Wars twist and stuff. And stuff like that hasn't come back yet. And I want to pay for that. I'm quite happy to pay for an added extra. You know, and I think especially Disneyland Paris last week, they don't do anything like that. We got drunk sitting in the shade of the Tower of Terror one afternoon, I think it was Tuesday afternoon last week. We let the kids go off and go on the rides, and us four just sat with the babies, because the babies weren't well, they were asleep in the pram, and we just had, I think we had 4 pints in the end, they had like 4 Proseccos, and we just sat there and watched the world go by, and it was just lovely. You're in all this movement, all this action, all the ambient music's playing in the background. The weather last week in Paris was glorious, clear blue skies. And we just sat there and took time and had a nice, relaxing bevy. I'm all for it.
What's it like price-wise, though, in Paris for alcohol?
Quite reasonable. It's like, you know, $7 or $8 a pint. Yeah. And it's good stuff as well. It's all this European wheat beer and 8% and 9.1%, you know, so 1664, you know, all it's just nice ale. It's not your Bud Lights of this world, put it that way. well worth
other beers are available.
Yeah, I'm not a big drinker at all. Unfortunately, I can't handle it, mate. I'm away with the fairies after a couple.
I've made a couple of lifestyle changes concerning alcohol of late. I don't drink in the house anymore. But making a conscious decision to only have a bevy when either we're going out for a meal, so we go out six times a week now. but no, I don't. I try not. Well, I don't drink anymore. But I'll drink when I go on holiday because I'm on holiday.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't had a drink since February last year, and then when my birthday, like 2 weeks ago, I had four cocktails, and I might not drink again now until September. But I'll have a few when I'm, like you say, I'll have a few when I'm in Florida. I'm not teetotal or anything, but like I can't handle it. In either way, mate, and I won't go any further than that. You can imagine what I mean. A man of my age, advanced years.
But, I mean, there was nothing better than getting back to the beach club in 2019 and all the brother-in-laws would come out of their rooms and we'd all come out with two cans each and we'd go and sit on the couches at the end of each floor, but near the lifts. And we'd just sit there for half an hour, just have a couple of cans, just rudiment about the day's events and have a laugh about whatever and just sometimes just sit there in silence, as men do.
harass the tourists going by.
I think on that note, we need to wrap it up then, don't we?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Right, cheers, guys. Thanks for that.
Thanks for having us.
No worries, my friend. No worries at all.
Thanks for listening to the show today. If you could leave us a review on your podcasting app of choice, that would be muchly appreciated. Like and subscribe and share it with your friends. And why not, while you're there, subscribe to Brit's Guide to Disney Vacation Club. Go and give us a listen on our sister podcast. All contact details are in the show notes, so we will speak to you on the next show.
The audio for this show has been recorded, edited and produced by Arla White Audio Productions.
Hey all, David here. I'm one of the co-hosts of That Florida Podcast with an exciting update for you. I created Disney for Brits to help any Florida or Disney-loving fan make the most out of everything Disney. I started with the Disney for Brits YouTube channel and filled it with hints and tips to make your holiday magical. Then I became a Disney and Universal qualified travel agent to help you find the best holiday at the right price. And as I'm a learning machine, I've also trained with the world's greatest cruise lines, hotel chains, and much more, from Virgin to MSC, Cunard to Hilton. So don't spend hours looking, comparing, and searching for the very best holiday. Let me do all the hard work for you. Find me on Facebook and Insta at D4B Travel. That's the letter D, the number 4, the letter B, Travel. All you non-Disney fans, and I know you exist, haven't been left out. Check out Ollie Travels, where my fox red cockapoo curates all the best non-Disney holidays out there. From cruises to all-inclusive, family value holidays to the most luxury holidays you can find, he finds them all. Check him out on Instagram and Facebook at Ollie Travels. Find out more about everything I do to help you at www.disneyforbrits.com. That's Disney, D-I-S-N-E-Y, the number 4, Brits.com. If you're a fan of Disney pins and magical merchandise, check out Pin Imagineers. It's a haven for pin collectors and enthusiasts with bucket loads of information, regular sales, ops and giveaways. And you're joining one of the quickest growing pin communities in the UK. Find them on Facebook and Instagram at pin-imagineers. Look forward to seeing you again on another podcast and can't wait to help you on any of my channels. As our pal Mickey says, I'll see you real soon.